Fight Back with Libby Znaimer on Zoomer Radio with guest host Bob Komsic.
Welcome back. Canada's Minister of Sports says Hockey Canada has to continue to transition to new leadership. Pascal Saint-Ange made the comments the day after Andrea Skinner stepped down as interim chair of Hockey Canada's board of directors, stepping down after testifying before Parliament's Standing Committee on Canadian Heritage, where Skinner vigorously defended the National Sport Organization's leadership group. Now, she and her predecessor, Michael Brindamore, grilled by the committee over Hockey Canada's ongoing handling of an alleged group sex assault involving members of the 2018 men's national junior team and how it's paid out settlements in lawsuits. MPs demanded in committee hearings to know why Hockey Canada's president, Scott Smith, hasn't been fired yet or stepped aside. Hockey parents, past and present, fans, what do you make of all this? Surprised? 416-360-0740, 1-866-740-4740. Dr. Richard LeBlanc is professor of governance, law, and ethics at York University. He also wrote The Handbook of Board Governance, a comprehensive guide for public, private, not-for-profit board members. Richard LeBlanc, welcome to Zoomer Radio's Fight Back.
Nice to be here, Bob. Thank you.
Let's start with your thoughts about the interim chair's move to resign.
Well, she never should have been chair in the first place. She didn't have the proper mindset during the testimony. And as a result of the testimony, provinces and sponsors pulled out en masse. The chair should have been independent from management. And she had a defensive, somewhat arrogant attitude. And she didn't really exhibit independence or an appreciation of how serious these issues are. So her resignation is nice, but it's largely immaterial.
You pointed out that, and we'll get back to as far as replacement and everything else, but with the sponsors pulling out, various provincial hockey organizations breaking off relationships, stopping payments, why are they doing this? Or is it as obvious as the noses on our face?
Well, it's reputational preservation for the sponsors and not wanting to be contagious with an organization that is not producing books and records. There have been allegations of jewelry, of large televisions crossing the table, of liquor, expense accounts, credit cards. And some of this could constitute, if it's in a procurement situation, could constitute bribery and an infraction under the criminal code. And if directors are receiving these luxury items, then that compromises their independence. And that it just strikes me that there's something about this board either they're captured in some way or they're not. There's something else here. And they have announced this morning that meaning Hockey Canada executives, are now suing the federal government, if you can believe this, for not being compelled to produce financial disclosure. So there's something else here that I think would explain the board's loyalty to management. And I think that the sponsors and the provinces have just had enough, and they just don't want their brand diminished by the continued intransigence of management of Hockey Canada.
416-360-0740, 1-866-744-740. Don't expect any members of the Hockey Canada board to call, but maybe you out there can call. Maybe you're a hockey parent. Maybe you've been one. He or she's grown up now, no longer playing the sport, and you're not around the rinks as much, or maybe you are one in terms of what you're seeing. And now with what you're hearing, give us a call, be part of the conversation. So the point you made there lastly about what the Hockey Canada's move there and the financial side of things, obviously, would you then say that there really isn't any transparency there?
No, there was a one-page statement in their annual report of financial disclosure that has various percentages. But it's not only financial Bob, you just mentioned the parents and the teams and the rinks, etc. And I've helped sporting organizations and their boards, and they tend not to have proper compliance, which is a code of conduct, a whistleblowing policy, an alcohol policy, an anti-grooming policy. When you drop your kids off at the rink, male or female, you want to be assured that these types of compliance issues push down into the level of all across the country. And I think that this board is missing an opportunity to come clean and to say, we get it, and we will implement the following reforms. That, you know, you look at the board, and not only do they not have financial literacy, they don't have governance experience. Almost all of them are hockey related to the sport of hockey, and that tells me that they're too close to the sport, and they don't have independence from it, and they don't have governance and financial expertise. All these things, whistleblowing, alcohol, anti-grooming, these are all best practices, and you wouldn't know that if you're not trained on governance and financial literacy. So I think there's opportunities here for some serious reform, but the board has to look inward and. Ultimately, the number one job of a board is to hire, fire, and pay senior management. So senior management needs to go. If they're now contemplating suing the federal government, I mean, you've got the wrong senior management, and I just don't think this board is up to it. So we will see where this falls out, but this will not end well. We've got the involvement of the prime minister, the sporting minister. This is a matter of our national pride. This is not something that a management team or a board can win.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it would seem you touched on a few of them there as far as what you would consider some of their shortcomings when it comes to governance. And as we pointed out off the top, you've written a book on this. So if anyone knows when something, walks like a duck, quacks like a duck and looks like a duck, what it is. So you'd know. And those would be clearly some of the top shortcomings you feel that are at Hockey Canada.
Yes, glaringly obvious that need appropriate remedy sooner rather than later. So it is blindingly obvious what the shortcomings are, and what is surprising is the lack of fortitude and candor.
Now, we've got, of course, Andrea Skinner, the interim chair, who stepped down, and then we still have, is that right? I believe we still have the president there, Scott Smith, he's still
correct.
Holding
correct. The CEO is still running the organization. Yes.
Can you believe that?
No, but yes, because I just think the board is misplaced. There's something there. There's something that needs to be able to explain not acting in the interest of the organization. And now they're chairless. So and they don't have a full bench. That you have the directors you have. So anyone, the ideal chair, Bob, would be outside. It would be someone from outside the organization that has the credibility, the gravitas, the authority, the governance expertise, the financial expertise to come in and clean house, both board and management. And I've seen that happen a number of times. If it's the right person being brought in, I don't think anyone on this bench, on this board, is capable of providing the independent leadership from management that is needed.
Would it take somebody then who feels they'd be qualified to do all the things you just laid out approaching them? Because the way you've explained things, the way you see the lay of the land right now, unless they really feel pressured into doing so, it doesn't seem like, again, as an outsider, as all of us are, those that aren't privy to the conversations and in the rooms, it doesn't appear as if it's something that they want to do unless they're still trying to figure out their next move.
That is correct. I mean, I'm speaking ideally, but I think you judge people by what they do, not what they say. So I think they've had emergency meetings over the weekend, and likely they're continuing to entrench. And a lawsuit against the federal government coming out of a weekend tells me that they're still in a scorched earth entrenched mentality, and the board has fused with management. So So the federal government, this lands on Mr. Trudeau's lap, and Madame Saint-Onge, the sporting minister. Governments have enormous power, and they allow you to exist because they have permitted it. So they can very easily withdraw the Articles of Incorporation from Hockey Canada and create a new organization. And I think that the longer this goes on, the more the frustration is not only with stakeholders and parents and athletes, but the federal government. When you're up against a prime minister and a sporting minister, this is just not something that is advisable. So stay tuned, buckle in, and I think we'll see some significant change in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's a quite powerful political power play there indeed. Richard LeBlanc, law and governance professor at York University and author with a book in that area of expertise. Thank you for your time.
My pleasure, Bob. Nice to be